Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It was late. I don't recall exactly how late when I returned to the apartment. My fiancé, Mark, had lent me the key, insisting that it would be a safe place to stay after our argument. The streets were too dark and my nerves were already frayed. I just wanted a quiet night, far from anyone's prying eyes. The apartment belonged to Mark's family. It was mostly empty, though there was a sofa chair sitting under a single desk lamp in the living room. On it rested a small porcelain doll with a face sewn in black thread. The smile was too slight, barely curving, but enough to make me uneasy. I tried to ignore it. "Mark, I'm here." I had called him on my cell the moment I walked in. "Are you sure this place is safe? It's kind of creepy." His voice crackled on the other end. "It's safe, I promise. My family used to stay there during holidays, but nobody's used it in months. Just need you to trust me." I sighed, pushing down the unease in my gut. "All right, I trust you. There's a doll on the sofa." "Oh, that thing?" He sounded almost amused. "That was my grandmother's. That always gave me the creeps, too. Leave it where it is. Don't worry about it." I wanted to press him for more details, but he was in a hurry to hang up. "I'll call you tomorrow. Get some rest." I set my bag down, not convinced about resting. That doll's sewn-on eyes, black thread shaped in an unblinking stare, seemed to follow me. My heart thudded. Still, I was tired of being paranoid. There had been too many secrets between Mark and me lately. Too many times I'd noticed him texting someone else in hushed tones, ignoring my questions, lying about late-night errands. With the lamp illuminating only that lonely doll, the rest of the apartment felt suffocatingly dark. I moved on, deciding to freshen up in the bathroom. The overhead light there flickered the moment I turned it on. I tried to ignore the strobing glow as I splashed water on my face. My contacts were itching something fierce, so I carefully reached up to remove one from my left eye. In the reflection, the light stuttered again, and I could have sworn I saw a shadow pass behind me. A quick glance over my shoulder revealed nothing but a dim corridor. I convinced myself it was just my imagination. Suddenly, the bulb died. The darkness made me curse under my breath. I fumbled for the switch, flicking it on and off to get it working again. The light sputtered weakly, and in that moment, I tripped on something soft on the floor. "What the?" I gasped, regaining my balance. My contact lens fell off my finger, lost somewhere near my feet. I crouched down to feel around for it, but my hand brushed against the object I'd stumbled over when I realized it was the doll. A chill skittered down my spine. I placed the doll on the edge of the bathtub, not sure how it had gotten there in the first place.
Seriously?
I whispered, feeling my heart pound.
Mark never said anything about this place being haunted.
Exhaling shakily, I continued searching until my fingertip grazed the lost lens. Gingerly, I placed it in its container. Something about the doll's presence felt wrong. I was certain I'd left it in the living room.
You're losing it,
I muttered to myself, trying to shake off the sense of dread.
It's just a stupid toy.
I switched the light off, then on again. It finally stabilized, glowing steadily. Relief washed over me. I turned toward the sink to remove the other lens, and that's when my foot caught on something once more. I nearly fell to the floor. The doll was back in the middle of the bathroom.
Enough!
My voice cracked as anger and fear mingled. I kicked the doll away, hearing it slide across the tiles.
Stay there!
I hissed at it, a ridiculous command directed at an inanimate object. Stepping back to the mirror, I removed my other lens. The dryness in my eyes was unbearable, so I reached for my eye drops on the shelf. Carefully, I squeezed two drops into each eye and then shut them for a moment, letting that cool relief seep through. When I opened them, the world was tinted red. At first, I thought it was just the haze of dryness. But I blinked, and a warm trickle slid down my cheeks.
Oh God,
I whispered.
No, no, no.
Blood leaked from my eyes. I let out a strangled cry, grabbing for a towel and pressing it to my face. My voice trembled with panic.
What's happening to me?
The sound made my veins turn to ice. It wasn't Mark's voice. It was high-pitched, almost playful, yet cruel. I spun around, vision blurring, crimson streaks staining my hands. The overhead light flickered again, and I saw it. The doll perched on the toilet seat, its sewn-on mouth twisted into what looked like a wide grin. The black thread that formed its lips had turned red, as though drenched in blood. My scream tore through the silence, and that mocking laughter only grew louder. I didn't know if it was coming from behind the walls or if it was in my head. I couldn't see well enough to chase down the source. Just then, my phone buzzed in the other room. I stumbled out of the bathroom, pressing the towel to my bloody eyes. The living room lamp was still on, illuminating the empty sofa chair. Or at least it looked empty, with no sign of that malevolent doll. My phone lay on the coffee table, buzzing persistently.
Hello?
I answered, my voice shaking. Hey, Mark said. I need to tell you something.
You think?
I hissed, terror pulsing through every word.
There's something wrong with this place. That doll, it keeps moving. And my eyes...
He cut me off, his tone laced with guilt.
Look, please, let me explain. I didn't tell you everything because I was scared you'd leave. That doll used to belong to my grandmother, but she claimed it was cursed. She always said it fed on lies. I thought it was just a story to keep kids from lying, but maybe it's more than that.
I felt a rush of confusion and anger.
Fed on lies? What are you talking about? Have you been lying to me?
He exhaled shakily.
Yeah, about a lot of things. About those calls in the middle of the night. About not being at the office when I said I was. I've been meeting someone else. Please, believe me, I never meant to hurt you. I was just too cowardly to tell you.
His words felt like a punch to the gut. I could barely see, blood still matting my lashes, but I could hear the desperation in his voice.
Why did you bring me here?
I screamed.
You knew this place was weird! You knew the stories! Why?
I thought if it was really cursed, it might punish me, he admitted, voice trembling.
I didn't know it would go after you!
A numbness spread through me. I didn't know whether to believe him or suspect an even darker motive. Was this his twisted plan for me to discover his lies in the most horrifying way? I dropped the phone in terror. When I bent to pick it up, the lamp flickered. The doll sat once again in the living room, staring at me from the corner, needle eyes glistening in the half-light. Blood dripped from my own eyes, and I couldn't stop trembling.
No more lies,
I whispered, voice hoarse.
You want the truth? Mark, I never loved you. I pretended I did because I was scared to be alone.
Silence pressed in, thick and cold. Then the doll's grin receded. A sensation like a vacuum pulling at the air filled the room. Slowly, the blood stopped leaking from my eyes. I wiped away the red and saw, through bleary vision, that the doll's sewn mouth looked ordinary again. Just black thread curved into a small, unreadable smile. Mark's voice crackled over the phone one last time.
Are you all right?
I didn't answer. I couldn't. I watched the doll carefully, waiting for it to move or grin again, but it remained still, just a doll once more. Finally, with hesitant steps, I approached it. There was no laughter now, no flickering light, no blood. I left the apartment that night, the doll abandoned in the living room. Mark and I never spoke again, not in person, not on the phone. I sometimes wonder if the doll truly died with our confessions, or if it's out there, waiting for more lies to feed upon. I still have nightmares. In the year 2025, a mother in Concord accidentally glued her eyelid shut after mistaking nail glue for eye drops. Her daughter explained that their mother wears contacts and mistakenly grabbed the wrong bottle. She applied the glue to one eye, while the other eye is usually kept closed due to sensitivity. The incident required a hospital visit, and despite multiple doctor's appointments, the glue remains stuck to her eye. She has been instructed to keep her eye closed for 5 to 7 weeks. My name's Lena. I'm middle-aged and recently divorced. I spent my whole adult life as a mother and housewife. My husband Daniel and I raised 2 wonderful daughters, but as soon as our youngest went off to college, Daniel left me. The only thing keeping us together were our kids, and now they'd grown up, he was done with me. I was shocked, of course. I'd given up on my own dreams to support Daniel and his family, and now I had nothing. Worst of all, my daughters barely called me anymore. They'd always been closer to Daniel, even though they both looked so much like me. I was pretty sure that he'd told them a bunch of lies to convince them to stop answering my calls. It was terrible. I got to keep the house, and my alimony checks were big enough for me to get by, but I felt so lonely. I knew I should get back out there, re-enter the dating scene, but that's not an easy thing for a woman in her late 40s. Mostly, I just stayed at home, thinking of happier times. Then, one morning, a familiar face appeared at my door. I was so shocked to see Marcus Bennett standing on my porch. Marcus and I had dated in college. Right after I broke up with him, I met Daniel, and my whole life changed. I always wondered how my life would have turned out if I'd ended up with him instead of Daniel. He was such a handsome, kind man. And even now, despite his bald head and slight beer belly, he made my heart flutter. Lena, you look wonderful. He explained that he'd heard about my divorce and wanted to check in to see if I was okay. He casually mentioned that he was divorced too. I took that as a good sign. I invited him in, of course. We spent hours catching up and drinking wine. He told me about his career as a college professor, though he never mentioned what school. Despite being single, he seemed to really have his life together. The more we talked, the more my old feelings for him came back. For the first time in months, I felt truly happy. Every once in a while, he'd get a text on his phone and answer it. Otherwise, all his attention was on me. I was pretty tipsy as I uncorked our 3rd bottle of wine. I accidentally spilled red wine all over the table. Marcus, who was just texting someone, jumped up to grab some paper towels from the kitchen. A little curious, I looked over at his phone. I couldn't believe it. This whole time, he was texting Monica, my youngest daughter. I scanned through their messages and I realized that they were planning something.
Is she drunk yet?
Almost, babe.
Hurry up! Trying? This bitch won't stop talking about herself!
The shock of these texts immediately sobered me up. I didn't know for sure, but it looked like Marcus was in a relationship with my daughter, and they were planning to get me drunk.
But why? What was the goal?
You caught me. Marcus was standing behind me. He knew he'd been caught, but he was smiling anyway. Before I could ask him what was going on, he grabbed me and shoved a paper towel over my face. I smelled chemicals, chloroform, I guess, and everything went dark.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I don't know how long I was out. Long enough for Marcus to tie my hands and legs to a chair. He was standing in front of me, smiling, waiting for me to wake up.
What are you doing?
Giving you exactly what you deserve. He'd lit a bunch of candles while I was passed out. They flickered on the table, which for some reason was dripping wet.
But gasoline? Sure smelled like gas.
He explained that he'd met Monica in one of his classes. He was drawn to her because she looked so much like me. He'd never had any relationships with his students before, but since he still harbored feelings for me, he couldn't stop himself. He said they were in love, and he said that she'd convinced him that I was a terrible person. He said that Daniel had stopped paying for her college because he was giving all his money to me for alimony. He made it seem like this was my idea, like I demanded her tuition money for myself. That wasn't the case at all. Clearly, my ex-husband had been lying to everyone, but I guess they believed it. They thought I was the villain.
Your poor daughter is about to drop out of school unless I do something.
So that's why I'm here. To do something. It was Monica's idea. If you die in an accidental house fire, then you won't be stealing any more of her money. And boom, every problem gets solved. She'll finish college, she'll be with me, and the world will be rid of a greedy monster like you.
God, all this time I thought I loved you. He sounded so crazy and so firm in his beliefs.
I knew there was nothing I could say to convince him that he was wrong. That my daughter was wrong. And if I didn't figure out a way out of this, he'd burn me alive. I moved my arms, trying to see if I could break through the tape. My left wrist was stuck, but my right was a little looser. Ironically, the charm bracelet that Monica had bought me years ago had some sharp edges that were cutting into the tape. If I kept moving my hand, I'd be able to loosen it enough to get free. But I didn't have much time. It looked like Marcus was ready to knock the candles over. His smile was so unhinged. But there was something else about his expression. I could tell that even though he was about to kill me, he still had feelings for me. He'd transferred them to my look-alike daughter. But some of those feelings were still directed toward me. I could use that. As I carefully moved my right hand back and forth, loosening the tape, I looked up at Marcus with a sultry look.
I understand why you're going to kill me. I deserve it. But can you kiss me once more before it's over?
He seemed surprised, but he couldn't say no. He stepped closer, the candles burning behind him, making the edges of his large frame glow in the light. "Goodbye, Lena." I bit into his lip and pulled my arm as hard as I could. With my hand free and his lip bleeding horribly, I pushed him backwards. He toppled onto the table. It wasn't my intention, but the fire quickly engulfed him. Soon he was covered in flames, screaming and writhing around. The table was on fire too. Then, so was the floor. As smoke filled the room, I used my free hand to tear open the rest of my tape. I grabbed Marcus's phone and immediately ran out of the house. I didn't look back. I didn't want to see what was happening to Marcus. When I was safe on the front lawn, I immediately called 911. And then I made a second call. "Monica, this is your mother. We need to talk." In the real life incident, a 30-year-old Michigan mother, Ashley Elkins, vanished on January 2, 2025, after informing her family that she was returning from a beauty supply store. Investigators focused efforts on the Pine Tree Acres landfill in Lenox Township, scouring approximately 6 to 7 acres for evidence. This development followed the arrest of Elkins' ex-boyfriend, DeAndre Howard Booker, 32, who was apprehended in Flint and charged with providing false information during a violent crime investigation, a felony carrying a potential 4-year sentence. Authorities allege that Booker misled investigators about his whereabouts and Elkins' vehicle. Digital evidence suggests that he researched topics such as fleeing the state, evading polygraph tests, and deleting search histories. Elkins' family emphasizes that her disappearance is uncharacteristic, noting that her phone last pinged near Booker's Roseville apartment. Despite extensive searches, including the recent landfill examination, Elkins remains missing. My name is Hazel, and football had always been my love, the one thing that made me feel free from the chains of my family's suffocating wealth and status. But privilege brought envy, and envy invited danger. Since childhood, my family had faced assassination attempts fueled by jealousy and resentment. As a result, I grew up surrounded by security guards and surveillance cameras. My life was carefully controlled and meticulously monitored. But I found peace in the familiar faces of our household staff, especially Tom, my personal driver. Tom had been part of my world since I was 5. He was middle-aged, always smiling warmly, his kind eyes hiding behind thick glasses. I trusted him implicitly, often confiding my worries as he drove me between training sessions and home. One crisp morning after practice, as I sipped my protein shake, my phone vibrated. I glanced at the screen, my heart skipping a beat. "You looked great on the field today, Hazel. Loved how the sweat traced your skin." My stomach churned, fingers trembling as I stared at the anonymous message. This wasn't just an admirer. Someone was watching me, closely. Despite my security detail's assurances, anxiety tightened its grip around me. Over the following days, the messages intensified, detailing private moments. "I love the lavender scent you wore today. Your favorite breakfast spot. Charming." It felt impossible. I reported everything to the police. Detective Eric Mason took the case. He was older, seasoned, eyes sharp yet comforting. He assured me they'd find whoever was tormenting me. One evening, he visited my house, his expression grave. "Hazel, we traced the messages." He began solemnly. "Who is it?" My voice shook. "Tom, your driver." I felt my knees buckle, the room spinning. "Tom? The man who'd driven me to school? Who'd offered me words of comfort after crushing defeats? Impossible," I whispered. Eric's eyes softened, sympathetic. "He's confessed, sending explicit invasive messages. It's some sick fetish of his." My chest constricted painfully. Betrayal sliced deeper than any blade could. Tom was like family. They arrested him quietly, discreetly, to avoid scandal. Still, sleep eluded me. Every shadow felt sinister, every noise amplified by paranoia. But nothing prepared me for what followed. Weeks later, another message arrived, this one darker. Hazel, you shouldn't have told the cops. You'll regret this. My heart raced. If Tom was in custody, who sent this? Shaking, I called Eric. Detective Mason, I gasped. It's happening again. Impossible, he replied sharply. Tom's locked up. Maybe a prank? No, someone knows too much, I insisted, panic rising. He paused, voice steady. I'll investigate personally. Stay calm. Yet calm was unreachable. Days passed. Messages persisted, each one increasingly explicit, menacingly detailed. My security was heightened, but whoever this was knew my every move. One night, while attempting sleep, my phone buzzed incessantly. Can't sleep, Hazel? Neither can I, picturing you in bed. My blood froze. Enough. Driven by fear and desperation, I secretly met Eric at a secluded cafe the next morning. Detective, I can't take this anymore, I confessed. Someone on your side might be involved. He hesitated briefly. Hazel, trust me, I'll handle this. But his hesitation was enough. Returning home, I couldn't shake the thought. Who could access Tom's phone or know police procedures intimately enough to evade detection? That night, curiosity won. I drove discreetly to the police station. With my family's influence, gaining entry wasn't difficult. I found Tom in interrogation, guarded but alone. Hazel? Tom whispered, eyes filling with genuine surprise. Why, Tom? I asked, voice cracking. You were family to me.
Listen, Hazel, he whispered urgently. They made me confess. It wasn't me.
Who? I demanded.
Mason,
Tom whispered, fear shadowing his eyes.
He's not what he seems.
Why would he do this? He's obsessed with you, Hazel, Tom admitted quietly. He caught me with your photos, pictures, and videos, the ones which you would only share with someone you know, perhaps your boyfriend. I worked hard to capture all that. You are so beautiful, Hazel, every inch of you. I must say, you are like a work of art. But he threatened worse punishment unless I gave it all to him. Nausea hit hard. Eric Mason, the man tasked to protect me. Returning home, paranoia engulfed me. Then, unexpectedly, Mason arrived, claiming he had crucial updates. You're safe now, he assured calmly.
Am I?
I challenged, voice shaking but resolute. Tom couldn't protect you, Hazel. He didn't appreciate you like I do.
You're sick!
I spat, backing away. He moved closer, eyes glittering dangerously. I've watched you closely, admired your every... Tom simply helped, unwittingly.
Stay away,
I whispered, heart hammering violently. Or what? You'll call your security? I am the security, sweetheart. Suddenly, behind him, movement caught my eye. Tom stood there, freed by my hidden alert. Determination blazed in his eyes as he lunged, wrestling Mason to the floor. The fight was quick, but brutal. My security arrived moments later, restraining Mason, who screamed obscenities as they dragged him away. Breathless, I looked at Tom. Bruised but resolute, his gaze met mine. I'm sorry, Hazel, he said softly. In mid-December of 2024, investigators arrested 55-year-old Michael Thomas Lewis for stalking WNBA star Caitlin Clark. Lewis, a Texas resident, sent explicit and threatening messages to Clark's ex account. Authorities tracked his posts to an Indianapolis hotel and public library, raising concerns about his presence in the city. Clark, fearful for her safety, altered her public appearances. When questioned, Lewis dismissed the threats as fantasy and a joke. He remains jailed on a $50,000 bond, facing up to 6 years in prison if convicted. A judge has issued a no-contact order, barring Lewis from Clark and her team's arenas.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.